Yes, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How's the weather up there in New England?
It's breaking. I forgot about this feeling too. When it gets to 40, it feels great.
Well, I'll take your word for that.
Yeah, I know, man. I know. But when you've been living in the teens and the 20s, I don't know. It's crazy. I'm going hit balls right now.
Get ready to take off with Dynamic Golf.
Hey, welcome back, Dynamic Podcast listeners. I'm your host, Tim McElvanna, and with me always is our co-host, Sean Klotz. Sean, today I think we're going to dive into the second part of the swing plane. Let's talk about it.
Yeah.
What do you say?
Yeah, I think last week we just, you know, there's so much to talk about when we start talking mechanics and trying to, you know, help people out with their swing, whether it's the middle of the winter or the, you know, first part of their season getting ready. So, I think it's something that should be dedicated to, because we don't want to kind of gloss over. It's such an important part of the puzzle.
Correct. So, you know, especially, you know, with the first part that we talked about with hand path and where it needs to be, you know, the second part is making sure that we keep that thing on plane and get to the impact striking zone with a square club face, correct?
I think so. I think the thing that I get with it, T-Mac, and I, you know, people get the, okay, so one of the number one terms you hear from the member or the customer who's coming in, got anybody flipped for golf lesson, sir, what do you do with your driver? Oh, I slice it. I come over the top. Mm-hmm. And they have an idea what that means, right? They do understand what that kind of means. You know, to break it down on a podcast format is a little challenging about the visual, but essentially from the top of the backswing, you know, like we talked about last week, hopefully they get to the top of the backswing with some efficiency and some consistency or some, you know, normality to it.
Correct.
Elbow, you know, right elbow's in a good position. Left hand, left arm, left wrist might be a little bowed. If you don't know what that means, go look that up on there's plenty of YouTube videos on how to bow your left wrist.
Bow your cup, right?
Yeah, exactly. But then sort of, you know, then the next question is, okay, well, I come over the top, or what do I do next? Mm-hmm. Right? That's what you hear a lot, right?
Correct.
Well, that's great. What part of my body moves next to initiate the downswing, to start the club getting into the slot? Another key term you hear a lot.
Yep.
I got the club into the slot. I love Carl Gennaro, one of my favorite guys in the world. Helped us out tremendously during the Zephyr Hills High School program.
Yeah.
I think he may even still be coaching. I'm not even sure. You know, definitely had the honor of coaching Jared and Jordan, you know, two of his boys. And
yeah,
Jordan was an amazing kid. And you know, Carl's done an unbelievable job starting a foundation and creating a thriving foundation for Jordan.
Yep. Right? That's Jordan's way, right?
Jordan's way, yeah. Just correct. Again, same thing. If you guys ever want to donate to something good, please donate to Jordan's foundation. But Jordan's way. So Coach Carl, we always called him Coach Carl, was always talking about being in the pocket, right? That was his big term, being in the pocket. Sean, if I just get the club in the pocket, and it's almost a literal translation of what in the slot means. It really does mean get your hands kind of to your right pocket on your downswing.
Yes.
Don't ever have your hands working away from your body at the top of your backswing. Don't have them work away towards, like out away from your head. Have it work down.
Yes.
Carl Gennaro, Coach Carl, would always talking about bringing the hands to the pocket. The butt of the club is going essentially vertically at this position for the top of the swing. It doesn't go horizontally. It doesn't go away from you. The club head doesn't work away from your body. It works essentially towards your body, but T-Mac, that's also happening because we're shifting our weight. Is that correct?
Correct. You're getting that lower body lead like we talked about in previous episodes where, you know, if you get that left side starting, right, getting that pressure into that left side of that foot, it that club automatically kind of drops for you into that right pocket position that you're talking about, right, for that first, like, 2-3, maybe even 6 inches for everybody. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And it is the part where I think – people have trouble, you know, even if you show them sort of what a correct lag position is from the top of the swing down, what the pros do with their, how they keep that angle between the shaft and their left forearm, like how they keep that angle. I think you can show that to somebody, but there's such an ingrained thought that a lot of players have of, I've got to lift it up. I've got to get the ball up in the air, and I've got to get the club to the ball before I even hit the ground. And it's just not the way it's done.
Well, it's the part of the swing that I see a lot of amateurs and a lot of good players too. They rush that part of the swing, right? I mean, they just,
yep,
there's this hit motion that starts to come into play right when they get done with the top of the swing, and the hands just go out and away from us in this hitting pattern.
Yeah.
Instead
Correct.
Of having patience, right? That's the big
yep.
thing you've got to learn, is to have patience to allow the process to continue. And then once you
yep.
get that thing to about hip high is where you're really going to start accelerating. But, you know, it's really tough to get your student to want to be that patient, to keep their hands that quiet for that long to get into
right.
impact.
So let's talk about that, because, again, we like to micromanage or micro dissect some of these pieces. And I maybe just kind of some of the things I've heard, you know, I listen to you and I learn from you just as much as vice versa, I think, sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been watching a lot of, you know, again, YouTubes and different things, and kind of like, how do the pros do it? I love the AMG guys, the
yes.
athletic motion golf guys, because
mm-hmm.
they give you data to it. So what I've been hearing, reading, is that from the top of the swing to, like you're saying, maybe about, you know, maybe the mid-chest level, we'll call it, where your hands drop to mid-chest,
mm-hmm.
not necessarily to your hips yet, that hand speed is uber fast. It's uber fast at this point. This is a Bryson DeChambeau. Think of his downswing. His hands are moving so quick till about where the, again, hands are maybe chest level, maybe down to the hip, to the belt buckle or belt level.
Mm-hmm.
But then the thing about it is, T-Mac, is then the club, then it goes the other way, meaning your hands actually decel. I don't know if you've seen this, heard this. They kind of decelerate a little bit, because now the club head is starting to move super fast, right? That's where the power, that's where you're really getting that whipping action.
They're bracing for impact.
Yeah, the whip, like the Indiana Jones whip, is kind of the good analogy for some people to kind of feel like, you could never throw a whip, not that we ever do this, right? We're not cowboys anymore.
Yeah.
But we're not throwing the whip away from us. It's hold, and then snap.
Mm-hmm.
And that snapping motion that is just prior to impact, and really, it's really post-impact, but we want our listeners to feel like it's almost post-impact, because everyone does it early, right? They do it too early.
Correct.
Yeah, that's where the flipping of the wrists and kind of the, you know, again, sort of that, if you started over the top from the top of your backswing, you've done it, you're out of luck already.
Mm-hmm.
But if you kind of can get your swing going in this right path downswing, from the inside, and then you still have an extra right hand.
Yes.
You know, you're probably still going to kind of top it or hit like left shots. It's really that whole synchronization timing of the left hip, pulling your hands down at the same position, and really getting out of the way, letting your body clear.
Yes.
To give your room for those arms, right?
Yes. You know, and I think that's just people learning a little bit more about the crawl pattern that they have to have in the golf swing. I think people get so bound up with, here's the backswing and now here's the follow through, right? Where it really is,
yep.
like we've touched on before, is that when we get up to the top of the backswing, there's a little bit of that lateral motion forward. So it's kind of a dance, right? It's kind of up and
yep.
it's down, where I think a lot of our students get it, you know, there's two parts to it, right? They think it's just the backswing, and then once I get there, I just stomp on my foot and go. Which, you
yep.
know, isn't correct. You're going to have a little bit of that motion as the arms are still going up to the top. You always see the great players, they start that lateral movement, that press down into the
yep.
ground, and they start to get it. And if I gave somebody a baseball or a rock, they would do it naturally without thinking about it. But once I put a golf club in their hand, they start to think.
Right. Now they're trying to hit the ball instead of swing the club. And that's such an old, you know, good saying that Billy London, one of my coaches that I had for, you know, basically 12 years after college. I think did you know Billy? Did we ever talk about Billy?
We've talked about Billy, but I don't think I've met
Never,
Billy.
No. Okay. Yeah. So he was Daryl Martin's coach, and we talked about that and stuff. But that was Billy's main tenet of his teaching, was you always swing the golf club, you never hit the golf ball.
Correct.
And that's such a simple saying, but it's so true that it's kind of where the whole, like, let the club head do the work
yes.
concept comes from. you know, really you are letting gravity work. You're building kind of the power up as you kind of make your downswing move, like you're saying, with kind of that little lateral, I like the word pressure. I hate the word shift, as you're starting to hear as we talk more and more.
Yeah.
I just hate the word shift. It's such more pressure to me as far as from one side to the other.
Yes.
But yeah, you know, but when you try to hit the golf ball, that's when you get in trouble. And I think there's no better example of that than a short chip shot for people. We're not even talking about, you know, full seven irons.
Mm-hmm.
When people try to hit chip shots, they're awful because they release the club past their hands and mm-hmm. they wonder why they top it or flip it at the bottom, or they can hit the ground. Like, there's so many bad things that can come from that, you know. And the chip shot is the mini golf swing. It really is just a mini dynamic of a golf swing.
Correct. Absolutely.
You know?
If you're struggling with those chip shots, I guarantee you're struggling with your iron play as well.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It's just the object, the club head's moving faster
mm-hmm.
with the chip or with the full swing, and it just can't be. So, you know what, again, and then I got a lot of points to this because
yeah.
I think one of the simpler ways, and maybe, you know, you give us some of yours too. I think one of the simpler ways for people to understand club path. So first of all, we're talking about essentially three different club paths. It's you're going to be, I'm going to use left, middle, or right. Like when the club exits after impact,
mm-hmm.
it's either going left, it's going straight, meaning towards the target,
mm-hmm.
or it's going to the right. Again, not so much the club face, right? Just kind of forget about that. It's
yeah.
more about what the club itself is doing, how it's exiting.
Correct.
So I like the alignment stick on the ground, not necessarily on your feet. Your feet is a different one. We talked about that last week.
Mm-hmm.
More right next to the golf club, you know, to visualize, hey, if you're swinging left, if you're swinging over the top or outside in, those are all similar terms.
Yeah.
They're all similar. And I want to learn how to swing to the right or inside out. Then I need to put an object.
Or visual aid.
Down. Yeah. Right next to the golf ball
mm-hmm.
and not hit it.
Correct.
So I like the idea of the object. You know, you got to be careful what object you put down because you're probably going to break it the first few times.
Yes.
Right? Like, I like to put it on the inside part of the ball is kind of what I'm saying.
Okay.
You know, I mean, it's you got to give yourself clearance.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to go slow. And like all the other ones we talk about, you got to go slow and shorter swings and half swings and get the feel of it first. And then you can, you know, maybe get the object a little closer to the ball, but you're trying to get the feel in your body.
Correct. Correct. Some of the things that I kind of do, Sean, is I think you're on the right track there. I use the alignment rod on the ground too. Sometimes
yep.
you've got to kind of find out what works best for your student. Sometimes visual aids work best. Sometimes feels
yep.
do. One of the big things I find, and you, I'm sure you come across 1,000 people that played baseball in their time, right?
Sure.
Big thing for me is I just kind of relate to old sports that they played, and I look at them and say, can you swing out towards the second baseman if they're a right-handed golfer? And they look at
yep.
me and they go, well, yeah, I can do that. Well,
yep.
and then I look at them and say, right now you're hitting right to the third baseman, right? So
yep.
once they get the idea of visual in their mind of where they need to go, they kind of do it. You know, they kind of get
yep.
a good idea that they need to swing out to the right, and then we start to see that positive path number that we're looking for on TrackMan.
Definitely. Yeah. And it's funny how the, you know, being in Florida for 35 years and now being up here for the last year, the sports are different. So my typical relation is either baseball is a pretty universal one,
mm-hmm.
but I've been using a lot of hockey. Hey,
yeah.
you could play hockey.
Yeah.
Or do you play lacrosse? Or a lot of the ladies have played field hockey as they grew up here.
Okay, very interesting.
You know, and then in Florida, it's, hey, did you play tennis?
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever played baseball? Yeah.
Pickleball.
So just, you know, the sports are different. Yeah, it's funny how the sports are different, you know, up here versus down there. But, yeah, it's something, if you can ever pull from their memory of what they've done in their past.
Yeah.
That is, I definitely agree. That's kind of the premier one. I will say, as far as like the object or the thing in front of you, I took a lesson about 4 years, maybe 3 years ago from Mike Bradley down at Buckhorn. Michael Bradley, you know, PGA Tour player.
Yeah.
I think he's got about 9 wins on the tour. Great, great player. Great guy. First of all, just a great person.
Okay.
And I was kind of always like a little intimidated by Mike, but he had helped me out literally 25 years ago at Bloomingdale Golf Club when he was on tour, and he was down visited his dad 25 years ago, and he was on the range, and I don't even know how I guess we had a mutual friend anyway. So he gave me a lesson 25 years ago, and he still remembered it, which I thought was amazing.
Oh, wow.
So I asked about 3 years ago up down at Buckhorn. I said, "Hey, Mike, I'm really struggling with driver. Can we just talk about driver?" And of course, what did he do? He said, "Great, let's see, hit 7-iron first. Perfect. That's the way you should do a driver lesson, right?"
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's because if you're doing it poorly with the driver, I'm sure you're doing it poorly with a 7-iron.
Correct.
So we hit some 7-irons, and 7-iron is a little more manageable, less fade at the time. But the thing that he brought with him, which is such a old school, typical way to do it, he brought a equipment box, like a driver box, like a cardboard box with him. That's what he had in the back of his cart.
Mm-hmm.
And he laid that down. Now he put it on the outside of the ball, and he aimed it towards, like you're saying, towards second base. If I'm aiming straight down the range, he aimed it kind of towards second base, mm-hmm. or right field, however you want to use the term.
Yeah.
And he said, "Don't hit the box." And it's just amazing. Like, we're pretty good. We're all pretty good hand-eye coordination people.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't hit the box, and the ball goes right. Perfect.
It's amazing. That's like a magic trick,
of, right? Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm trying to get rid of. I don't want it to go right. I don't want it to start left, because that's the fade. The slice is start left. So, it's just find something. We see a lot of stuff where they. You can put the stick in the ground. You can the alignment stick. You can swing around it and underneath it and all that stuff. I don't know. The simpler, the better.
Yeah.
The more feedback, the better.
Absolutely. I've come to find, at least in my years of golf, and this sounds kind of crazy, but whatever direction the ball's going, you probably got to go further towards that direction than going away from it. Does that make sense? I mean,
Say one more time for me. I gotta grasp on. I'm driving. I gotta make sure I pay attention.
Gotcha. So I usually find whatever the issue is, wherever I'm going, right? If I'm going out to the right, then I'm probably swinging to the left. So if my problem is to the right, then I've got to go further to that direction than what I think. It's the way physics works is crazy. But, if I want to get it to go left, I got to swing out to the right. And if I'm a person hitting it out to the right, you're like, "No, I'm not going to do that, man. I want to swing harder to the left to bring that ball back onto my plane." So it's kind of that mind bend that we have to get through a little bit with the game of golf.
So I'll bring Billy London up again, just yelling at me, like on the range over at where Keith was at, the Golf Grove there on Nebraska.
Yeah, the old Golf Grove.
That's where Kulzer was at before. And then there was another one up on 41 that we hit balls at. I mean, for hours. We hit balls at Rocky Point for hours. Like, you would just sit there or stand there with me. And I'm kind of scheduling like a little half hour, 45-minute session. We'd be there 2.5 hours. I'm like, "Billy, don't you have to go?" He's like, "No, you don't have it yet. Why would I go? And I got nobody else." So, and he was just great with that. He just really, but he was, he wasn't, I find my, catch myself doing this. He wasn't throwing 15 things at you. He's like, "You don't have this part yet. Why would you think that we can move on, Sean, if you don't have this part yet?"
Yeah.
And we would hit, anyways, it was a great way. Again, he's the guy who taught me how to teach, and he's just so many good things, but his fundamental tenet, other than the let the club do the work, was, "Sean, it's a game of opposites. You want the ball to go right, you swing left. If you want the ball to go left, you swing right. If you want to hit it hard, you swing easy. If you want to hit it soft, you swing fast."
Correct.
Like, all that stuff. Right? So fun. So fun.
And I think you bring up a really good point for our fellow instructors that are listening to. If you're just starting out, you are very excited about the knowledge that you have and you want to show it to people. But it's really hard for your students, as you said, to copy 15 things in a half hour or an hour lesson. So you're right. I mean, Billy London's absolutely correct. try to find the one or two, three things that can help them for that session, and just stick to those things. And you've got to exercise patience in yourself as well to hold back. Isn't that true?
Yeah. Yeah, because they want the fix. They came to you. They're frustrated with something. Mm-hmm. They're upset. Hey, I'm paying you. So there's already an implied service type of thing. I'm paying you to fix me.
Yep.
Right? I don't really want to put the time and effort into fix it. I don't really want to start eating better. I don't really want to start going to the gym. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's all the...
I just want TikTok 30-second quick fix, buddy.
Exactly, right? And that's the pressure that we have. Like, what, you know, okay, great. That's a starting point, right? But you've developed this habit over the last 10 years, sir, ma'am, junior. I don't care. Like, you've developed this thing that hasn't just all of a sudden come up. You've just figured out some way to kind of shoot 90 with it or break, you know, 80 somehow, because you're a good putter and chipper and putter somehow. But if you want to get better, that's why I love hearing, like, Rory, I think I told you last week, like, Rory went and worked on his golf swing for 3 months this winter.
Right.
What? Like, what? It's Rory flipping McIlroy. It's not Tim McIlroy. It's not Sean Clark. Like, okay.
I mean, well, he's got the best swing in golf, and he's out there revamping it. So.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So yeah, to just give yourself patience, give yourself some grace, go hit a boatload of smaller swing. It's redundant, T-Mac, that we say this, but I don't care because it's so, we know it. That's the only way you get better. You go hit smaller, shorter, half swings.
Yes.
Get the feeling back in your body, like you're saying. Great point. Yeah, if I want to swing, if I don't want the ball to slice, I got to start the ball to the right? What?
Mm-hmm.
That means I got to swing the ball to the right? Well, no, but when I'm on the course, I just aim more left and I can slice it better. Okay, great. You're going to do that for the rest of your time.
You're
never going to draw it.
And the great thing I always heard from old Mike Dameron, he says the more that you aim left, the more right you got to bring it. So it just keeps getting more and more out of balance as the round goes on. You're just aiming more and more left to bring it more and more right. And eventually you're going to hit that straight ball straight out of bounds.
Yep. Yep. No question. Now it's good. So, you know, find your thing, you know, find your object, find your, you know, your thing that clicks in your head as far as, okay, do I get to get the path go more right? I think I'm just working on path. We haven't talked about face angle for 2 weeks, and we haven't gotten it, you know, because we don't want to. We want you to get, and we're not trying to promote inside out. That's the other thing too, right, T-Mac? Like, it's not always about trying to swing more inside out, because you got students that do the other way too. It's just there's less of them.
Correct. Correct.
Right?
I mean, you don't want somebody with like a path of like 7% positive. That's really bad, right?
It's funny. I feel like that's the harder one to teach.
Mm-hmm.
That's the harder one to fix.
Correct.
Because it, for hours, we're on the range telling people to swing right, and now all of a sudden you got to tell somebody, okay, hey, get your right shoulder to get in front of your left shoulder on your downswing. What? Swing left. Make your arms go left. What? That seems so weird.
Yes. Yeah. Then they feel like they're swinging over the top. They look at you like they're swinging over the top. And you're like, dude, that's going straight down the line. You know,
that's exactly. That's what you have, because you've, you know, again, from whatever sport they've developed, from a lot of it's sort of body structure and kind of how their arms are. You know, sometimes they may be a little, I don't know. I don't want to say it's all like, it's just different ways, you know.
Equipment can play a factor in that too. If it's too heavy, you're going to drop that underneath the plane and swing really out to the right too.
Could be. I guess I feel like this could be a bad generalization. I feel like taller people usually fight over the tops or swinging lefts. Mm. And I feel like shorter people that might have a little bit too much weight on them in their stomach area kind of swing a little more under and inside. I don't know if that's a general statement or not, but I definitely think that taller people have trouble getting it inside or flatter, but John Rahm's tall and he does a great job of it. So, but he still swings left realistically.
Yeah.
He's kind of outside and, you know, it's, you know, different.
But getting back to your point about we don't have to swing out to the right all this time. But the big thing is, and I think you put this in your little memo over there at One Stop, is that you want to get the path as close to zero as possible as an amateur.
Yep.
Even if it's negative 1 or 2 degrees, that's a really good place to be. Or negative, yep, or positive 1 or 2 is really good, but getting that as close to zero as you can is really, yep, good. And getting that ball, you know, it's not, maybe it's not a perfect draw or that push draw that everybody's looking for, but that playable ball that's in the fairway on the green, maybe it's a little right of your target or what have you, but you're still finding that ball.
Yeah, I would say that, you know, we're kind of spoiled because we have access to TrackMan every day and we know what to look for and we have able to give students data, you know, right off the bat. If you don't have access to TrackMan or any launch monitor, you just need to look, you need to aim to a target and you need to start hitting the ball, you know, again, outside in, left swing guy.
Yeah.
Then you need to aim at the target 100 yards in front of you. It doesn't need to be 200 yards, 100 yards in front of you. And can you start 10 golf shots out that start to the right of that target, period. Like, that's how you start the process. And it's not 10, it's probably, you know, 500. But
so what I would say is, what is the original TrackMan for us when we were kids, right? What was our data that we got from where our path was, is that we looked at the divot on the ground. That was our original TrackMan, right? You figured out what, yep, your path was by looking at the ground surface reaction that you had. And if it was out to the right, then you had a, you're swinging out to the right. And if you find that thing going left or toe deep going left, then you're swinging over the top. And that was that, you know, today, if you don't have a TrackMan and you are an instructor, those are the things you look for out, yep, there on the field.
So it's funny because I do a lot of teaching off of mats because we don't really have a grass area to hit off of, you know, so you're a little limited with what you can kind of see from that divot perspective. Mm-hmm. And I am the prototypical, my practice swing divots are literally tour quality, perfect, straight, maybe even a hair from the inside to the outside. But then you put a ball in front of me and the ball flight is relatively straight. I mean, you know, in the real world, pretty good. But my divot pattern is left, and so I'm all for understanding what your divot pattern is, especially if you're, you know, pulling it or whatever. I think it's very beneficial. I use divot pattern like with real grass more with the low point number,
okay,
and kind of maybe even more the direction of the, but obviously direction is important. It's just, you know, I where are you bottoming out? And then that again kind of leads to the path issue.
Yeah.
Because if you bottom out earlier, if you're kind of closer to the equator or even never behind, but if you're closer to almost, we call it picking, right? You kind of don't take a divot.
Yeah.
You kind of pick the ball off the ground. And you're still solid. You can still be solid, but that's typically that inside outside to the right swing path guy.
Yes.
Whereas the guy who's a little bit outside in or swing left guy is kind of that more divot ball first, and then the divot is roughly, you know, 1, almost 2 inches after the ball. No, that's a little extreme, but you get the idea.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, because yeah, the angle of attack.
Yeah, it just changes. So, yeah, get something out there. Give yourself something to give yourself some feedback. Put something down on the ground so you kind of have a visual of what you're trying to do.
Yeah.
And you know, really be identifying where the starting line of that ball flight is, which, you know, we talk about is so club face driven as far as what the face is doing, mm-hmm, but they do work hand in hand. The path really kind of controls the spin right to left or left to right.
Yeah.
But, you know, it does obviously come into play on the starting line. The face is really, so maybe next week we just talk about, okay, that's great. Now we've got a good path. We've established a great path. We know what the path is going to be. Maybe next week we start talking more about what the face angle should be doing, how you should be kind of arriving at that position with the club face. Like you said, really matching up to what your path is doing.
Yes.
That's the goal. That's
yes,
the goal. The goal is to make those two things the same, whether they're negative or positive, it doesn't matter, or left or right or whatever.
Yeah, you know, the big thing I see with some of my students, even if they have a good path, I've had a student just the other day had a really good path. He was out about 2 degrees positive, but his club face was just as wide open as it could be, you know. Yep. So, you know, be mindful. Even if you have a really good path, you've got to have a face that complements what you're trying to do to make sure that goes straight.
100%, 100%. I think, yeah, well, let's get into that one a little more next week, because we can talk about grip position and how your hands are on the club to, you know, the controls of the face and a lot of different things in that. And there's a lot to be said for that. The maybe the last thing I'll say about sort of the path part is, so I've been teaching a lot indoors, you know, at the impromptu hitting bay that we've got in the pro shop at Oakley. And it's probably 8 feet from the mat to the screen.
Okay.
And we have some sidewalls put up probably 4 feet from the back wall of the screen forward. So there's the screen is 10 feet wide. Okay. It's hard to do this, but I'm going to pick on a couple of juniors that I've taught over the last 4 or 5 days. I won't bring their names up, obviously. I've had a couple of juniors, boy and a girl, they've missed the entire enclosure because at impact, so they miss it left, the club face is super obviously shut, and I'll say to them, hey, where's the club face? Well, club face is left, coach. I said, yeah, exactly. But it's because they're falling back, right? They're, the weight's on their right leg. That's the only way you can actually get the club face that far left in an enclosure that you're trying to hit that's 8 feet in front of you with 10 feet wide. And I'm not making fun of them at all, because I've got, we got all, you know, men and ladies that do this.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
The kind of the point is, like, if you don't shift this, if you don't put the pressure from your right leg back into your left leg as you make the downswing, almost nothing else matters, because you're gonna be in a bad position. Now they're doing it. When I said that story to you, T-Mac, they're both juniors, right? So what they don't have, and every once in a while I'll see it with an older man or lady, but they don't have the wrist strength to maintain the club face to go straight enough towards the screen.
It's just
so that's kind
around.
Of why they're doing it. You said it earlier without even knowing. Like, the club head is too heavy for them. So the shaft goes left, or the head goes left. And they've got grandfather's clubs.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They just didn't, the clubs aren't necessarily designed for them. So the point being of all of that is your pressure has to be create the downswing move to make sure that the path goes more straight down the line, and to make sure that the face goes straight where it's trying to go to. That's kind of the whole point of that.
Gotcha. Yeah. So you got to have that, you know, as you said, keeping that path, you know, at least, as we said, closer to a zero or out to towards the second baseman, keeping it positive. And then, you know, as you said, you know, next talk is how do we and what do we need to do to get that face kind of square?
Yeah. Right? Yeah. I think that's where we head towards and get people ready for the spring.
So did you catch any of the PGA Tour this weekend at all? Did you catch some of the young guns coming out?
Yeah, those guys are, first of all, they're good. You know, they're all 20 under par. So
well,
it's a good start.
It was a resort course to start off with. Everybody was having fun for the first 3 days. It looked like everybody kind of cracked up and broke up a little bit on the final day, talking about pressure. So
yeah, I mean, it's again, I've never, not even close to shooting 61, but when Pot Gutter shoots 61 on sets a course record or ties it, you know, typically those course records are done on Thursdays, Fridays, you know, maybe some Saturdays, but not typically done on Sundays.
Yeah.
Sometimes the girl, did you see the girls event, the ladies event yesterday?
No, I didn't. I didn't. What happened there?
So the lady who comes in second, she shoots 11 under par yesterday.
Oh, wow.
11 under.
Wow.
And she came in second, which is kind of harsh to say, hey, how'd you do? Oh, I shot 11 under. Oh, great. Did you win? No, I came in second. Because the girl that that came in first was 7 under par. But just, you know, again, just it's just crazy how good all of these players are.
Yeah.
And how there's just not a concern. There's just, you know, if you're going to play golf well, you can't have any fear. you just can't.
Absolutely.
You know?
And these young kids that are coming out now, they're coming out of the college ranks and they're just hungry to win. I mean, and they, you know, they seem almost insulted if they don't win in the first year or two, where, you know, you remember back in the day, like, hey, wait till you're, you know, I remember Curtis Strange,
right.
you know, interviewing Tiger. Oh, wait, you'll know. Wait till you get to your 30s. I mean, these kids are like,
right.
no, I want a major before I'm 25 and I want to be in the Hall of Fame by the time I'm 30 years old. So, I mean, they're coming out guns blazing.
Well, there's that Aldrick kid there, Pat Guyer. I mean, he's the longest hitter on tour, fastest ball speed on tour. He's 20.
Yeah.
He's 20.
Just turned 20.
Not in the shape that you would look that you see on tour.
No.
He's not in that type of shape. He's heavy. He's super strong. Big kid.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really, like, if I could have you guys go, like, watch his swing, I would tell you to try to emulate his base for his driver.
Yeah.
He's got such a good, solid base. It just looks very, very powerful. Like, he's really ready to make, right?
He reminds me of like a Julius Boros or something like that.
If
any of you guys know that, go look that up. But he was a hell of a golfer too, and kind of has that same build, a very big, athletic kind of guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's got that. And then he's also got, which at the same time, he's got Joaquin Niemann side bend.
Flexibility.
That's a lot for a Monday morning. Right, exactly. Flexibility, yeah. And that's how he can kind of keep his positions, maintain his posture, and just bombs it. And yeah, he's not a great chipper, and that's kind of what ended up costing him. You know, he didn't get up and down on the playoff hole.
Yeah.
He did get up and down 2 out of 3 times out of a bunker to get to the playoff part of it. But he's just, so I was glad to see Brian Campbell win. You know, kind of a journeyman player. He's been on tour, on and off tour since 2016.
Yep.
So it was a good story, and his girlfriend was like falling down, was so happy for him, and it was just kind of a fun, you know, feel good story type of thing.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, and nothing to take away from Aldrick, but you know that kid's going to win on the tour. You know he's probably going to win a couple majors. You know he's going to be there. But this guy, Brian Campbell, this might be the highlight of his career. That's, he gets a start
possible.
On the PGA Tour. You know, I just feel for the guy because it's so tough for these guys to get on the tour. You used to be able to hold your card at the top 125. Now it's the top 70. So these guys, to get a win and to really live out their dream. I mean, he's a 31-year-old journeyman. You know, at 31, probably he's probably got something in the old ticker. If by age 34, he's going to go, you know, run the old man's business or something like that, or, you know, something like that. So win this is just, I'm happy for the guy. I'm rooting for the underdog all the time.
All the time. Yeah. No, it's like you said. And the other thing he gave up, you know, he gives up 40 yards of driving distance to Aldrick, which is, again, another good way to, for our listeners, like, hey, there's multiple ways to score. And he said that. He said that. He's like, he said, got an interview after at the end, and, you know, the girl, the lady was like, you know, how do you even, you know, put that in your head as far as how to, you know you're going to get out driven by 40 every time. He answered it so well. He's like, it's not my game. He goes, I know it's not my game. I just do what I can do. I don't worry about what the other people are doing.
Yeah,
and I know that if I can hit the ball where I want to, and I've got a really good short game, and that's how he ended up, like, the last hole, he hits the ball it should have been out of bounds. It should have been in the the drive on the last playoff hole should have been in the trees, and he got this great bounce, and it you know, knocked back from the trees back onto the playing surface, we'll call it.
Yeah,
he's got 321 yards. Aldrick's got 224 yards to the green. So he hits 3 wood or 5 wood to a position where he can hit it. And he hits 68 yards left in. He hits 68 yards left in to about 3 feet. Makes birdie. Aldrick misses the green and doesn't get it up and down. And he, you know.
Yeah, hit a clunky chip.
yeah.
You know.
So,
Yeah, and the mental fortitude that Brian had to have for that. I mean, just think about that. You know, you never won on the tour. You're facing probably what's going to be, you know, one of the top five stars in the future, head-to-head with all the big guys. You're giving up, you know, 40, 50 yards to this guy. And to win, to come on top, I mean, it just, as you said, it really goes to prove that there's more than one way to skin a cat, right?
That's it. The ball, you're right. So, no, it was good stuff.
Now you're going out to practice a little bit, you said. What are you going to work on here before we break?
I just got up here to the range. It is all completely frozen over and snow completely on this range.
Perfect.
I should take some pics for the YouTube channel.
Yeah, let's do that.
Golf balls are on the ground. They're frozen into the water, it looks like. Today, so we're getting ready for a trip in about 3 weeks down to Charleston, South Carolina.
Okay.
So I got a new driver, just like everybody else in the world. We got some new product. I got a couple swing thoughts I'm going to go do. I'm going to try to work on some, trying to get my attack angle up on driver, and we'll hit it into the snow and see where it lands.
Love it. So.
Yep.
Well, very good. Hey, if you guys liked and loved this, please think about liking and subscribing, and you know, keep working on your swing plane. Before we break, any final thoughts, Sean, before we go?
No, I'm good, man. Just keep doing whatever you guys can do to get better. You know, just if it's go to the range, great. If you can go work out for a little bit, if you can go stretch, whatever. Just keep working on it. That's what we're all trying to do, get better.
All right. So thank you guys. Have a good one, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Be good.